We have talking about deception, spirit of deception, all kinds of stuff. Psalm 38, verse 12. And this is David creating the psalm who was crying out for help. In verse 12, he says, "Those also who seek my life lay snares for me." How many of y'all know the enemy lays snares for you every day? It's called bait. Tonight's teaching is called the bait of Satan. He tries to bait people. "Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all day long." Remember, we talked about deception as an area where it brings blindness. Amen? But Satan's bait in this is the area to where he can get you to live from your past and not from the future. He wants to nullify your connection to your future all the time. So he baits us, he snares us in everything he can, every single day. Remember, you're not only fighting the powers of darkness, you're fighting your own flesh. "And plans deception all day long. But I, like a deaf man, don't hear. And I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear, and whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity, I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous, vicious, and they are what? Strong. And those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation." Satan, the bait of Satan, he's always trying to bait us through snares, through anything he can, all day long. What's he trying to do? Prevent you from living from the future. You know, every day we get our past brought up to us, every single day. No matter what we do, what's it trying to bring up? Regret, sorrow, guilt, condemnation. Well, what prevents you from living from the future? Anything to prevent you from living from the future is not of God. Amen? Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil, or Satan, Lucifer, whoever. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when he had ended, he was what? He was hungry. That's his flesh. He was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Why? So you could eat. See, Satan was always trying to snare Jesus. These are three areas where he tries to snare me and you. This is known as lust of the flesh. But Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish." Was he telling the truth? No. "Therefore, if you worship before me, all will be yours." Lust of the eyes. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered him and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Wow. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and what? Pride. Pride. Pride of life. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until what? An opportune time. Never let the enemy deceive you that since you overcame him once, that you can do it again. Hello? Hallelujah. The devil, Satan, attempts Jesus to take the bait in the flesh, lust of the flesh, desire, right? He was hungry. He was trying to prove Jesus by deceiving him. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the desire, wealth was given to him to be acknowledged, and the pride of life to prove yourself. He was trying to bring him to himself. If you are who you say you are. See, these are baits of Satan. Those are three major baits. Amen? But of course, it says he's going to come back repeatedly until bait is taken. Hello? So that means we've got a constant. Now, if you take the bait, spit it out real quick. Repent quickly. You know what, Lord? I touched and agreed with this, and I shouldn't have. Sorry. Amen? It's that simple. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And if you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, what's an Antichrist? It's a spirit that causes what? Deception. It says here, look at this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would continue with us, but they went out that they might be what? Made manifest that none of them were of us, that they might be exposed, that none of them were us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. We know these things. The anointing brings awareness. Everyone say awareness. Without the anointing, see, when you buy the bait of Satan, one of the things that happens is there's a dulling that comes in, a nullification that comes, a disqualification that comes. It you know, like the veils come on again. They start coming on slowly, bit by bit. It's like getting cataracts, spiritual cataracts, you know. And in it, eventually a person becomes blinded, and then they can't see. And then their awareness is nullified. There is no awareness. They just believe whatever they hear. Hallelujah. Those that reject the truth bite the bait and they are exposed. So when people reject the truth, they bite the bait and then they become exposed. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity of those who desire for an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things in which they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Wow. He transforms himself what does he do? He transforms himself into a familiar spirit. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be what? According to their works. That's why the Bible tells us that there are many who are come to you in sheep's clothing, but they're actually wolves. Amen? Ephesians 6, verse 1. The bait of Satan. There's many people walking around with hooks in their jaws. They don't know it because they can't see it. But when God opens your eyes, you can see it on others. And you can also see it on yourself if you become truly repentant of everything. If you're a person that repents for everything, no matter whether you understand it or not, God will keep your eyes open. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What are parents in the Lord? Spiritual parents. It's that simple. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. That's a warning, don't you think? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them in the training and admonish of the Lord. So that's important, that you honor those who rule authority and that are your spiritual parents. It's a blessing. It's just like when you honor your carnal parents. God blesses you. You know, many people lose sight of their spiritual, that it's a spiritual fight. Amen? Let's keep going. Verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as what? Bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good does anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up, threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the trickery. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the age of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have only done to stand. Again, what has happened? People bite the bait. They don't get dressed with the full armor of God. They lost sight of the spiritual fight now and have become carnal or fleshly, not able to see the things through the because of the emotional, deceptive desires. They can't see them now. It's impossible. Remember, we need sight. When you bite the bait of Satan, you might not know it, but everybody else does. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed are those who what? Don't bite the bait. Amen. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? Okay, get this. His own what? Desire. And then in what? Entice. So what happens is the enemy promotes a desire. And it's always trying to usually prove self or something associated with this self. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth what? Death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every precious gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadowing of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Awesome. Luke 11, verse 14. And he was casting out demons, and it was mute, So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub and the ruler of demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by who do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes him from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me does what? Scatters. So one of the things the enemy wants to do is divide your house, your temple. It's the bait of Satan, is divide your house, then he can usually divide another house. Everybody got it? He brings deception, confusion, and delusion. Deception, confusion, and delusion. What? To divide the house. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their what? Own lust, their own what? Desires. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, they wouldn't know anyways because they're blinded. They couldn't discern what the heck's going on. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. It's that simple. Scoffers, according to their own desires, fall into denial of the truth. They fall into the denial of the truth and unaware of their influence. In other words, they're not aware of what's influencing them, what spirits are influencing them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Look at this. What does it say? Pursue peace with all people and holiness, or you ain't going to see the Lord? Whoa, that's pretty heavy. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of what? Bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this many become what? Defiled, corrupted. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that after, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Why? Because he bit the bait. In fact, he ate the whole bowl. For he found no place for what? Repentance. He was sorry, but he didn't repent. Though he sought it diligently with what? Tears. The root of bitterness causes trouble, become defiled and disqualified. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth or even obeying the voice of God? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little compromise can destroy you. That's why we do not want to walk in assumption. Assumption is deadly. It's a bait of Satan. Well, I assumed. Don't assume. Come out of it. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind or thoughts, but he who troubles you shall bear his own judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you become consumed by one another. Wow. That's flesh versus spirit, isn't it? Verse 16. I say then, walk in a spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or you desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just also as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Wow. It's the flesh against the Spirit. The flesh is the offspring of Satan. The Spirit is the offspring of Christ. Amen. I'm going to close at Proverbs 2, starting at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for what? Discernment. Are we going to need discernment? Yeah, that's awareness too, isn't it? And lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your souls, discretion will preserve you. In other words, awareness and discernment. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of righteousness, uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral men and women, from the seductresses who flatters with their words, who forsakes their companions of their youth and forsakes the covenant of their God. For their house leads down to death and their paths to the dead. None of them go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And we're watching some of that happen now, aren't we, globally? The wicked's being caught. All those are in fraud and lying and deceiving. They're being snared because they've bitten the bait of Satan. And we want to avoid the bait of Satan, so we need the wisdom, discernment, and understanding. We need to stay awake no matter what. Don't let offense enter your heart. You know, it's not that you won't be offended. It's what you do with it. You stand strong. You trust God all the way no matter what. God knows. Yeah, I used to say that even when I was in the world, God knows. When I was dealing drugs and people thought I was ripping them off, I said, God knows. God knows.
No.
I ain't lying. You know, God knows. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you seal it and protect it and bring it deep into our spirit. And, Holy Spirit, bring it to remembrance when needed in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.